In 65, you were out of office for some time.
Yes. I was out of office for 4 years, doing public relations work, managing the JC convention. I got paid for that. Met Donna, got married. We had our son Mike and our daughter George Ann, and then suddenly I decided I want to get back in politics. But when I married Donna, I got to say, she didn't know I ever was going to go back in politics, and I didn't either. But I thought, well, I'm not going to run for governor again. I'm going to start over. I had been a popular lieutenant governor, although I couldn't get elected governor. So I said, okay, I'll go back and run for lieutenant governor because people identified me as a lieutenant governor and tourism and that sort of stuff. So I backed up and ran for lieutenant governor again 4 years later and got elected.
When you met Donna, she was a TWA reservation agent, but she also had reservations of marrying you.
Oh, yes. At least, I like that word. She did have reservations.
Right.
Yeah. Two or three reservations. First of all, she'd never been around politics. I had run for governor and lost, and she wasn't sure she wanted to be in politics. She didn't like the public life, and I said, well, I don't know that I'm going to run for politics. But I got to say that the Oklahoman and the Tulsa World ran stories calling me Oklahoma's most eligible bachelor. I was 36 years old, never been married, had been lieutenant governor, been in legislature, taught high school, and they called me the state's most eligible bachelor. Then I'm marrying this TWA airline reservation clerk. And Donna would say, what's the big deal that they're telling me I'm getting such a good deal? I'm marrying the state's most eligible bachelor. She said, he's $100,000 in debt. He doesn't own a home. He doesn't own a car. He doesn't have a job. She said, I'm out of debt. I own my own home. I have a job. I have my car. And I'm getting a good deal. She never could understand why they would always say, this girl is so lucky getting this eligible bachelor. That's true. I was $100,000 in debt when she married me. I didn't have a car. We moved into her house and drove her car. Then I found work.
You campaigned for Preston Moore for governor.
Yes. It would have been a 66 campaign because elections are always even years. And you take office in odd years. I got the nomination for lieutenant governor real easily. And I thought governor and lieutenant governor should run as a team. See, Edmondson and I had done it. Preston Moore had gotten the Democratic nomination. So I told Preston, why don't we run together? Well, he didn't want to exactly campaign together, but he wanted me involved in his campaign. So as a lieutenant governor who had gotten the Democratic nomination and was supposed to be a shoe-in, I made a political mistake in that I devoted my time to his campaign instead of mine. I almost lost. So I became officially involved in Preston's campaign. I managed his schedule. Bill Kerr, Bob Kerr's son, was his campaign manager. Isn't that strange? We're back to the Kerrs. All the polls showed me just running away with the lieutenant governor's race, and Preston was leading and was supposed to win, but the vote closed at the end, and he lost, and I barely won. Kind of a rude awakening to me. Let me tell you what. Go back in history. When I appointed Howard Edmondson United States Senator, he served until the next general election, and then he had to stand for election. So Howard Edmondson, who had become an unpopular governor, I appointed him senator. That made a lot of people mad. That was a deal. So he ran to fill out the unexpired term. And in the Democratic primary was Fred Harris, a state senator from Lawton, who beat Howard. In the Republican primary was Bud Wilkinson, the most popular man in Oklahoma.
Because?
Of football at OU. OU football coach, a national champ, you know. Bud Wilkinson was an icon, and he ran for United States Senator. He was a shoe-in. Okay, we talked about the JCs. They have what they call the Outstanding Young Men of America. They select 10 outstanding young men every year. There's 10 outstanding young men in the whole country. Oklahoma, at that time, only had 4 that had ever been selected. 3 of them ran for the United States Senator in the same election. Bud Wilkinson, Fred Harris, and Howard Edmondson. And they were in the runoff. Harris beats Edmondson in the Democratic primary, and then is running against Bud Wilkinson. Bud Wilkinson was for Barry Goldwater for president, and he made the mistake that I just made. Bud Wilkinson said, I want Barry Goldwater to be president, and if you want me to be your senator, vote for Barry Goldwater for president. Barry Goldwater was running against Lyndon Johnson, who was from Texas and very popular in Oklahoma at that time. And here's Fred Harris as the Democrat, and people say, well, Bud, we don't want Barry Goldwater. And the last time the state ever went Democratic for president was that election when Lyndon Johnson carried Oklahoma. But Bud Wilkinson, the most popular man in Oklahoma at the time, and maybe one of the most popular men ever in Oklahoma history, lost a race for United States Senator because he spent his time campaigning for somebody else. I was popular as a lieutenant governor, and I was supposed to win hands down, and I almost lost it because I campaigned for somebody else. That's a big lesson. Now, can I tell you another something you don't know?
Sure.
I said Bill Kerr, Bob Kerr's son, was Preston Moore's campaign manager. You know, we'll go back to Bob Kerr. My son married Bill Kerr's daughter later. So Senator and Governor Bob Kerr's daughter married Lieutenant Governor, Governor Nye's son.
How about that?
Neither one of them were in politics. They met without us even knowing they met. So Bill Kerr and I share grandkids.
But in the end, Dewey Bartlett's.
Yeah, in 66, I campaigned for Preston Moore, and Dewey Bartlett won. And Dewey Bartlett later went on to become United States Senator. At that time, the first and second Republican governors became Republican United States Senators, Bellman and Bartlett.
But then along in 1970, we had David Hall.
David Hall beat Dewey Bartlett running for re-election. We're back to the first part of our interview, and I think that the key word was okie. David Hall beat Dewey Bartlett because Bartlett tried to make us Okies, and that was not popular.
And David Hall was an attorney from Tulsa?
He was district attorney, originally from Oklahoma City, moved to Tulsa and was the district attorney.
Quite a charismatic person, wasn't he?
Very charismatic. Now, it's kind of funny. Dewey Bartlett was the first governor who could run for re-election. David Hall beat him. David Hall was the second one that could run for re-election. And David Bourne beat him. So the first two that could run for re-election didn't make it. And then David Bourne decided not to run for re-election and ran for United States Senator. And that's when I decided I would run for governor again.
You ran for governor in 78. And then what you just described took place then at that time.
78 was my first term as governor. And then 82, I became the first one to be re-elected. Dewey Bartlett ran for re-election, was defeated by David Hall. And I got reelected lieutenant governor. David Hall ran for reelection, was defeated by David Bourne, and I got reelected lieutenant governor. So I served under four different governors as lieutenant governor. Earlier in the interview, I said, you really don't want to run against an incumbent, generally. David Bourne was the governor of Oklahoma, very popular. I presumed he was going to run for reelection, so I was getting out of politics, having never been governor. I said, I can't be lieutenant governor anymore. I'm just not going to run. And suddenly, David Bourne decides he's going to run for United States Senator. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm back in politics because no incumbent. I've been lieutenant governor 16 years. Here's a chance that I can be governor. So I changed my mind and run for governor and get elected.
So then that was twice in your life you thought, my chance for governor is gone.
Yes.
That had to be tough to deal with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that was my whole dream.
From 14.
Yes.
We should mention that David Hall did do some time. He served 19 months, a three-year sentence for extortion, conspiracy convictions.
Yeah, it did not happen while he was in office. But after he left office, he was found guilty of violating some laws. I think the interesting thing, let's go back to the lieutenant governor's a heartbeat away. I'm lieutenant governor under David Bourne. Bourne runs for the United States Senate. I run for governor again. He gets elected to the Senate. I get elected governor. Before the term of governor is up, the term of senator starts. So Bourne resigns 5 days left in his administration. So here I am for the second time a governor of Oklahoma. I've been governor twice, and my total term was 14 days. I had a 9-day term and a 5-day term. And then I succeeded myself with a 4-year term and another 4-year term. My point being is that why you should take the lieutenant governor's office seriously. I became governor twice, once with just 9 days to go and once with just 5 days to go. That could easily have happened 2 years before in history. So what if you don't care who's lieutenant governor, but suddenly he or she becomes governor instead of 9 days for 2 years? So you should know when you vote for lieutenant governor that whether they're of the same party or different parties, if that governor office becomes vacant, whoever's the lieutenant governor, regardless of party, regardless of their viewpoints on subjects, might be completely contrary to what you elected as governor. He's going to be governor of Oklahoma. So they should run as a team, in my opinion. But always know that the lieutenant governor is just this far away from being governor. In Oklahoma law, you're also the governor when the governor's out of state. Some states, they say if the governor's gone 2 weeks, you become the governor. But in Oklahoma, the instant you cross the state line, we had a case in history back before me where a governor had been out of state. While he was gone, the lieutenant governor signed paroles that the governor didn't want signed. They were both Democrats, incidentally. But the lieutenant governor signed paroles as the governor in the governor's absence that the governor didn't want signed. So the governor got home and said, those aren't good. I revoke them. And they said, you can't revoke them because he had the authority of law. The governor was riding the train back to Oklahoma. So they checked the railroad schedule. When the train crossed the state line, any parole that he had signed prior to that was good. But even though he didn't know the governor had crossed the state line, they were not good because that governor was governor again.
So that's strange, isn't it? Yep.